Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Throw does over the middle.
There you go.
Joel McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots it. Score! Curry blocks the shot. Then Gretzky ends 3-0. Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Good afternoon. Welcome to the Superstore, another edition of Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. No, Chris DeMarco has not missed that putt as of yet. Speaking of golf, we'll get to Phil in a moment. A lot of things happening over the weekend. As always, this show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik, and this is show 1624. This is Drive Time, and today is March the 5th, 2018. Up here at the Superstore, the Carfax Fox Sale runs through the 12th of March. The low payment kings, Carfax Fox Sale, a lot of tremendous deals. Visit the MonroeSuperstore.com. John Wagner coming up at 5:15 tonight. John's in Mount Pleasant, where Bowling Green tonight will take on Central Michigan. First round play in the MAC tournament. All those games are on campus tonight. Central Michigan home against Bowling Green. Kent State takes on Northern Illinois at Kent State. Ohio's at Miami. Akron's at Western Michigan. Toledo, by the way, will play the winner of Miami and Ohio. Quarterfinals, of course, get underway Thursday at the Quicken Loans Arena. So John Wagner from Mount Pleasant, the campus of Central Michigan University, at 5:15 tonight to talk that matchup between the Bowling Green Falcons and Central Michigan. 5:35 tonight, Kyle Rowland, Toledo Blade beat writer. Kyle, of course, covers the University of Michigan. Michigan coming off a big win over Purdue. They win the Big Ten tournament now for the second consecutive year. Michigan wins it 75-66. Other things, Red Wings got beat yesterday on the weekend wrap, 4-1 Minnesota, all over. The Red Wings now, of course, looking ahead to the draft, the rebuild, long shot to get back into this thing. Almost got to play at 90%. That is not happening. Pistons going the other way as well. They play the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. Kevin Harvick won the NASCAR race over the weekend. That was out in Las Vegas. Walleye, they take 1 out of 2 against South Carolina. They win yesterday on the road, 2 out of 3 in the weekend. Tremendous things happening down at the Huntington Center for our local professional hockey team as well. And I got to tell you, you know, I share these things with you just because I think, not that I want people to be part of my life, but, you know, when you're a sportscaster and you have multiple duties in two different countries and travels involved, yesterday was one of those days. And you want to talk about some bizarre timing. I travel yesterday from Canada, get in late, I think right around 1 a.m. last night. Of course, dead tired, beat, can't wait to get to bed. You know, hop in the rack, grab the remote, put it on the low there, Golf Channel's on, click the thing on. The leaderboard comes up, and they go to Justin Thomas, pulls out a sand wedge. One of the great shots I think I've ever seen, especially when you're bleary and weary at about 1:15 in the morning, and bang, hits it about 12 feet behind the hole, spins it back into the cup to take a two-shot lead. I mean, 119 yards, what a great shot. I said, that's it, hit the remote, go to sleep, figure he's going to win. Get up this morning, still in the recovery mode, here we go, turn on the TV, put a little coffee on this morning, watching the golf highlights, and lo and behold, Phil Mickelson. How about Phil? Congratulations to him. He battles back with a couple of birdies late in the round, and nothing against Tiger, but we've had this watch on Tiger Woods over the last month. By the way, he's committed to the next two tournaments, but Mickelson hasn't won since 2013. Lefty wins the Mexico Championship, 47 years of age. His last win, British Open at Muirfield. But what a, you know, what a great finish. Again, Justin Thomas, one of the great shots of the year. Phil catches him. A lot of great things yesterday on the PGA. So that's the weekend, everybody. And as always, this show driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Michigan, congratulations to John Beilein and the Michigan Wolverines. Again, Big Ten champions for the second straight year. We had the game, of course, and was also televised. We think this is Jim Nantz. I will verify that in a moment. But Jim Cushland's put together a little package of Michigan's win yesterday.
Simpson, numbers right here. Three on two, delivers. Simpson splits defenders. Splits the third. High off the glass. My goodness. Duncan Robinson, he has had a big impact this last month, and you see why right there. Rahman takes the shot, now steps back, loads up a three, and he hits another one.
How about that? He got Mathias on his heel.
Here's Robinson stepping up and beating the buzzer. Simpson, what a move around Thompson. Sets up Teske. Matthew steps in. Oh, yeah, a lot of hang time on that shot. Teske.
Look at this.
Doing it all.
Oh.
Simpson wraparound pass. Sets up Wagner. Rockman gets the feet planted and hits the shot. Simpson. Dagger. Back-to-back Big Ten championships for Beilein and the Wolverines.
And that was Jim Nantz, no doubt about that. And again, congratulations. I mean, Michigan again wins its second consecutive year. Of course, Election Sunday, March the 11th, 1 week from yesterday, we'll find out who's in for the Big Ten, who's in for the MAC. Of course, the number two seed, the University of Toledo Rockets. Buffalo's the number one seed. They will play the winner again tonight of the Central Michigan Bowling Green game. And standing by up in Mount Pleasant, John Wagner, Toledo Blade. He'll be at the game tonight. Back with John after this. This is Drive Time, and it's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, where the Carfax Fox sale continues. Back with John Wagner after this.
Sports. It's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore, the show on ESPN. The Ticket, brought to you by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. For the Carfax Fox sale continues through the 12th of the month. That's next Monday. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. We're here at the mothership tonight at the showroom. Again, glad to have you on board. Basketball wall-to-wall tonight. Of course, Selection Sunday is next Sunday, 1 week from yesterday. But the MAC tournament gets underway tonight. There are four games. Kent State takes on Northern Illinois. That's at Kent State. They're the 5 seed. Ohio is at Miami. Miami the 7 seed. Akron up in Kalamazoo to take on Western Michigan. Western Michigan, the 6 seed. Bowling Green's number 9. Central Michigan, number 8. And up at Mount Pleasant, coming to you from the McGurk Arena, is John Wagner, Toledo Blade beat writer. He does basketball. He does hockey. He does baseball. He does everything. A little baseball, of course, for the Mud Hens. Hello, John. How are you?
I am a little slice of heaven. Mike, how are you tonight?
You always are. Glad to hear. You got a smile on your face again, John. How was the trip?
Oh yeah, I shouldn't say it's a short drive because it's a 3-hour drive, but it's highway driving the whole route. So, you know, it's not the back roads of Morocco or anything like that. And plus, at the end of the drive, it's 75 miles an hour. It's hard to argue with that.
No, it you know, for a guy that spends a lot of time on the road, listen, you might have a tough time coming back. You know, 75 is closed southbound, don't you?
Oh, we're going to avoid that. I would assume we'll come back 96-23. So
I like that.
Just in case you want to set up a parade for me when I come back. Set it up along 23, okay?
My large staff is on that already, no doubt about it. Bowling Green Falcons tonight in Central Michigan. Bowling Green struggled, Mr. Wagner. Tell me a little bit about that. They've lost 5 straight, 6 straight on the road. Chance to play Buffalo noon on Thursday. What's going wrong, number one? And number two, what do they got to do right tonight to win?
Well, it's funny. When that streak started, there were a couple of really, really close losses. They lost by 2 at home to Akron, and then with a foul call that's still being argued and debated at Kent State the following Saturday. So there were two really close losses there, but they followed that up with two, I mean, blowout road or a road loss at Ohio where they lost by 16 and then lost by 30 to Buffalo in the finale. So, the problems are all defensively. BG has struggled defensively in recent games, and that, since they run a transition offense off misses and rebounds and turnovers, that has really caused their defense or their offense to struggle. The struggles on defense have led to struggles on offense.
Well, here's the question. Does the coaching staff for the Falcons tonight change things up? Number one, what type of game do you see? Does Bowling Green at this late date change the way, you know, maybe take the air out of the ball a little bit here? I mean, let's face it. We're in the first week of March here. You're not going to be changing too much, but do you see a different type of texture to this one tonight?
Yeah, no, I think it's too late in the year to change what you do at this point in the season. I mean, my goodness, you're 30 games in. You are, you know, the old Bill Parcells line. You are what your record says you are. You know, Central is a unique challenge because they shoot a ton of threes. They use full court pressure defense to create 3-point opportunities. The kicker is Central is outstanding at the foul line. So if you fall behind Central, fouling to get back into the game is not going to work because they make a ridiculous number of free throws. They're over 80% the last time I checked. I mean, so you can't fall behind them. You have to get in front, force them out of their full court pressure or handle it. In other words, getting easy shots and beating the pressure. And then guard the three-point line. It's what they do. So the BG knows what they're facing tonight. It's a matter of whether they can deal with it.
How about the building, McGurk Arena? How many times you have been in there, and does it pose any? Well, listen, playing on the road in any conference, and the MAC included, is always tough. Does that building bring up any challenges?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because their Central's on spring break this week, so the student crowd will be almost non-existent. You know, those kids are gone. They're in Florida, Texas, home, wherever they're going to go. So in that sense, their crowd will not be what it might have been 2 weeks ago for a regular season home game. So but that's a kind of a traditional MAC tournament thing. The MAC tournament generally is played during team spring break. That's something that everybody is dealing with.
Let's get your thoughts on that. Look in the crystal ball as John Wagner joins us from the McGurk Arena up in Mount Pleasant as the Falcons tonight take on Central Michigan. First round play. Teams that advance tonight play Thursday. Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. As I mentioned earlier, winner of the Central Bowling Green game will take on Buffalo. No easy task. That'll be at noon on Thursday. The other ones, Kent State, Northern Illinois, Miami, Ohio, Western Michigan, Akron. You've seen these teams. What do you expect in those games tonight? You don't have to break them down, John, you know, each individually and give me a complete sketch on things, but what are you thinking here in the first round? Anybody emerges that might be surprising, or do things go according to Hoyle regarding the seeds?
You know, it's funny, Mike. To look at it as a whole, it would not surprise me if things went totally against the grain. Ohio, the 10 seed, just beat Miami last Friday in Miami. So all they have to do is basically repeat what they did 3 days ago to advance to face Toledo, of all teams, in the tournament. Western just got done getting beat by Central, so even though they're home, that's not a gimme against Akron. And Northern Illinois has a very dangerous player offensively, Eugene German. I mean, he can put up points in a hurry, so that's not an automatic win for Kent State. I mean, it would not surprise me if things went against the grain in this round of the tournament. I will tell you that I would be, use the word shocked, but I would be shocked if there were a lot of upsets in the second round. I think there's a clear pecking order in the MAC, especially 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, to be honest with you. Eastern's the 3 seed. I think Ball State's a better team than Eastern, but Eastern's playing great right now. So that's the round where if you're going to try and go according to Hoyle, I would say that first round Thursday games in Cleveland is where I would go with the grain.
Hey, John, tell me a little bit about that. Can anybody beat Buffalo? I mean, Toledo, everybody knows their history and their story. Maybe eventually one of these years send a couple of teams to the NCAA, but the winner of this tournament automatically goes. You just mentioned the seeds. Buffalo 1, Toledo 2, Eastern Michigan, you just said, playing great. Ball State, number 4. Buffalo, the odds-on favorite, no doubt about it. Anybody be able to beat them?
I think teams could beat Buffalo, but I just don't see it happening, to be blunt with you, Mike. I mean, they are capable of scoring all over the floor. I mean, they've got guys who could score outside, inside, guys who could score inside and outside. A lot of times what Buffalo does, even if they're not playing good defense, they just keep scoring. And their break comes when they get a couple of stops. And, you know, all they have to do is get 3 or 4 stops in a row, and suddenly they're on a 10-point run. They lead you by 10, and it's just really difficult to stop Buffalo's offense. A team is going to have to play not a good but a great defensive game to beat them. And it's funny, you mentioned the automatic bid and the at-large. I don't see that happening this year. I just, you know, Toledo's had a great year. Buffalo would be a fringe pick if they weren't an automatic bid. I just don't see the MAC breaking that stranglehold of consecutive seasons where they're a one and done in terms of getting bids to the NCAA. To be honest with you, Mike, I think it's a much greater chance that they get multiple bids on the women's side, which has had a streak of one bid only for even longer than they have on the men's side. But if you wanted me to make a wacky prediction, it would be this year that breaks the string and that the MAC gets more than one women's bid to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, again, talking to John Wagner, Toledo Blade, coming to us from Mount Pleasant. Glad to have you on board, everybody. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. By the way, on the women's side, Toledo, the number 7 seed, and the Bowling Green Falcons, the number 11 seed. Hey, hypothetical, brief, number 1. Say the University of Toledo and Buffalo go to the final game, MAC men's. 4 overtimes. No time left on the clock in the 4th overtime, and Buffalo wins with a 3-pointer. Is there more than one team going?
I just on the men's side, I just don't see it. I mean, those bids are not based on one game, no matter how great a team plays. It's supposedly the body of work. And in terms of RPI, wins against top 50 teams, I mean, there are a bunch of different ways that you can break that down, and I just don't see Toledo getting that done.
Give me 2 minutes here on their, not even that, give me a minute on Chris Bergeron of the Falcons. They advanced in the Western Collegiate Hockey Association playoffs last weekend. I was on the road, didn't see any of it, but so far so good for Chris Bergeron and the Falcons Icers.
8th straight year that they won a first round playoff series, which is a remarkable string, especially when you consider some of those years came in the CCHA when they were an 11th seed picking off a 5th or 6th seed. So that just an amazing string. They've got 20 wins again this year, also an amazing string by them. They've done that 4 years in a row. At this point, there are only 3 schools that have done that. This is going to be a tough challenge. Northern's had a really good year and has earned the 2nd seed. It's an Olympic-size sheet, so you know, Mike, that is a bigger ice rink. It's going to cause, you know, you have to be sharper. You can't have mistakes because there's more room to take advantage of those mistakes. Bowling Green's recent history, though, is to have success in these tournaments that go deep. If you're looking for a team to have a chance to win, I think your Bowling Green hockey team is a solid pick.
You know what, John? I'm going to leave you with this, and I'm going to blame the player. How's this? I'm going to blame the player. You know, we do our work. You have to type things correctly. I'm getting paid to pronounce things correctly. Is it Joe Jimenez or Joe Jimenez?
It's Jimenez. And if I could tell a quick joke, I asked once, is it Jimenez or Jimenez, like you just did? And I was told, it's Jimenez. And I said, well, then how do you pronounce his first name? And the smart aleck said, well, we call him Ho. Ho Jimenez. So you remember it different ways. It's Joe and Jimenez. How about that?
You know what I figured on your story today? If he's good enough, I'm going to know his name by June. So I'm going to put all the pressure on him. How do you like that? So I enjoyed your story, and Detroit certainly can use some pitching. And one quick sentence or two on baseball right now with the Hens and the Tigers. What will you be writing about?
Trying to figure out who the Tigers are going to have on their roster, because that affects very much who you'll see in Toledo, especially injuries. This is the time of year to watch for injuries, because those will really affect both teams' rosters.
John, go get a bite to eat. I heard it's a five-star restaurant up there at the McGurk Arena and the Media Lounge. So fill up, get the fingers ready, no carpal tunnel, get it going in the right direction. I will be reading tomorrow along with many others, and go Falcons.
I'm going to be hepped up on these brownies that I see over to my left. So brownies and Mountain Dew. So that's the dinner of champions.
That certainly is. Thanks for coming on, John, and taking the time as always.
Take care, Mike.
John Wagner, Toledo Blade. He's up at Mount Pleasant as the Falcons tonight taking on Central Michigan. MAC tournament underway. John Wagner has seen every team in the MAC. He says one team will go, the winner of the tournament. He doesn't think anybody can beat Buffalo, so that's his thoughts on it. Again, tonight, Central Michigan taking on Bowling Green. Northern Illinois is at Kent State. Ohio at Miami, Akron taking on Western Michigan. The winners advance Thursday, Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. Toledo will take on the winner of Miami and Ohio. Central Michigan, Bowling Green, winner takes on Buffalo. TAS Electronics update right around the corner. The show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Carfax Fox sale continues through a week from today. Low payment king's Carfax Fox sale. The 12th, by the way, again through March 12th. Carfax Fox sale. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Tremendous deals up here. Wonderful, wonderful inventory. A lot. Hey, leave your checkbook at home, everybody. Come on up and see us. Again, the Carfax Fox sale continues.
Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Today is Monday, March the 5th, 2018. Carfax Fox sale continues here at the Superstore through next Monday. A lot of great deals. How about this one? $225 a month, zero down for a 2017 Chrysler 200, a 2017 Jeep Compass, a 2017 Jeep Patriot. You heard that correctly. $225 a month. Leave your checkbook at home, everybody. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Better yet, come up and see one of the great sales associates here at the Superstore. Again, John Wagner joined us from Mount Pleasant, where the MAC tournament gets underway tonight. The Chippewas of Central Michigan taking on the Bowling Green Falcons. Rockets await the winner for their game Thursday over the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. They will play the winner of Miami and Ohio. That Bowling Green Central game tonight, they will help. Good luck. You take on Buffalo Thursday at noon. Haven't heard this guy's voice in a long time. I'm not sure why, but Kyle Rowland joins us here on Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Hello, Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for taking the time, number one. And number two, that John Beilein's something, isn't he?
It's unbelievable. I mean, it seems like it's a annual conversation the first or second week of March of Michigan playing their best basketball at the right time, and it all comes back to John Beilein. I mean, he's just a remarkable coach, definitely one of the more underappreciated guys in the country, I think. People know he's good, but I still don't think he gets the necessary attention that he deserves.
Why is that? I mean, I think probably, I guess in my estimate, Kyle, his demeanor and the way he handles himself. And listen, I told somebody this the other day, when you're watching college basketball now, it seems to me that 70% of the time the camera's on the coaches. And listen, we get it. We understand it. There's big-time coaches in the country, and they are basically the face of the schools and the face of the program. I understand that. I don't see that from John. He gets a lot of FaceTime. He deserves a lot of FaceTime, but that demeanor, I think, is probably why you know, he's not real animated on the sidelines. Do you buy all that?
No, yeah. I mean, he's definitely a guy who just kind of keeps his head down and does his job and lets the play on the, of his players kind of speak for itself. I mean, it's also a program that's not, you know, real flashy, which is kind of funny to talk about because this is the program of the Fab Five. But, I mean, they don't have a bunch of, you know, first-round, you know, one-and-done NBA draft picks. I mean, most of their guys, they develop them and turn them into first-round picks. But, I mean, they're usually in school for 3 and 4 years. So I definitely think the attention these days in college basketball mostly goes to the superstar, you know, NBA phenoms. And Michigan doesn't have a whole lot of them. But this year's team, once again, has gelled and come together at the right time. Defensively, they're just outstanding. You know, by far the best defensive team Beilein's had in his 11 years. Xavier Simpson from Lima. You know, there's some questions around his free throw shooting and other things. Defensively and as a point guard, I mean, he's just doing a tremendous job, I think, leading this team. You saw that over the weekend. I know Mo Wagner won Most Outstanding Player, but I really thought Simpson was the star of the team all weekend. And going into the tournament, that's obviously going to be huge for them. But all around, I mean, they've gotten so much production from the freshman class that I don't necessarily think they were going to. I mean, Jordan Poole and Isaiah Leavers have been great. Just seems like everywhere you go, John Teske is a guy who's emerged that don't know if people really thought that was going to happen this season. So, just really, really great things for Michigan basketball.
Kyle, what did you think of the, listen, number one, I was surprised, a guy that likes to travel and sample some things. I'm surprised I had to read a AP story on Michigan's win yesterday. I thought you'd be in New York sampling some of the great food that I was able to sample there for 10 seasons. You weren't there, but you certainly covered them all year long. Couldn't you get your bosses to send you in for a couple of weeks?
trust me, I would have preferred to have been there.
Kyle Rowland joins us here on Drive Time. By the way, today is March the 5th, 2018, and this is show 1,624. Michigan, speaking about being in New York, I was a little surprised. I traveled yesterday. I caught a little bit of the game, though, between travel and checking in out of hotels. Pretty good contingent of Michigan fans there in New York, number one. And number two, what did you take on this neutral site out of the Midwest situation made for television ratings tournament?
Yeah, I mean, the Michigan contingent, I mean, from everyone I've talked to who was there and just watching myself and reading, I mean, it sounds like it was basically a home game for them yesterday. And even on Saturday when they played Michigan State, it sounds like, you know, there were just tons of Michigan fans there. Not totally surprising. I mean, I know they have a big alumni base in New York, but still pretty impressive stuff to take over Madison Square Garden. As far as the tournament is concerned, I mean, I'm still not a huge fan of it. A lot of people that went there said it was cool and, you know, it ended up being the success or whatever. I don't know if I totally agree with that. I mean, certainly, yeah, it's cool. They played in Madison Square Garden, but whatever. I mean, it's not Big Ten territory. It's just perfect in Indianapolis or Chicago, but Indianapolis especially. And to play the week before everyone else, I just don't think that was a great idea. The condensed schedule I thought was a disaster this year. Pretty much every coach hated it. Jim Delaney, the Big Ten commissioner, said it's not going to happen again. But all in all, I don't know, it felt like a weird, disjointed regular season the way everything was kind of crammed into a few weeks.
Kyle Rowland joins us here on Drive Time, ESPN 106.5, the ticket, home of the Buckeyes, of course, and the Wolverines up on Nash Icon, and high school sports as well, basketball getting underway, high school level already underway, tournament action as well. And again, you want sports, we got it here in the ticket. We got Kyle Rowland right now. Selection Sunday, 1 week from yesterday, March the 11th, of course. Three teams, Michigan, Purdue, Ohio State, Kyle, in the top 25. You've seen the majority of these teams this year. Overall view, I guess most people say it was a down year for the Big Ten for some schools. Moving forward into the tournament, what do you expect? Any dark horses out there? And touch on the Buckeyes as well.
Well, as far as the Big Ten's concerned, I mean, Michigan State, they're still highly ranked up there. It just doesn't seem like they've really ever put it together this year, as weird as that sounds. I mean, they've never really had a stretch of super impressive play, despite the number of wins they've had. They didn't beat Ohio State this year. They didn't beat Michigan this year. they wouldn't have beat Purdue if not for, you know, that heroic three by Miles Bridges. I think they're going to get bounced, you know, early, like the Sweet 16. I think Michigan and Purdue both have great chances to go far, Purdue especially. And Ohio State, I mean, it's just been an awesome season for them, totally unexpected. Chris Holtmann has just done a remarkable job when you consider that he took over basically a complete disaster in the month of June. So did not have very much time at all and turned them into, you know, a really solid team this year. That said, I don't think they're going to go very far in the NCAA tournament. They seem like a classic upset waiting to happen in the first round, like a 5-12 game. But I think the most interesting thing this week will be to see what happens with Michigan's seeding and where they end up playing. They would love to be in Detroit. We'll see if that happens or not. It seems like maybe them and Purdue will be fighting over that. A lot of the bracketologists out there have Michigan as a 4 seed. It just seems too low to me. It seems like they're really a 3, especially they're number 7 in the country. So I would be surprised if they were 7th in the country and then a 4 seed as well. But certainly there's a whole lot to happen this week, and it's always a fun week. It'll be fun to sit back, relax, and, you know, watch some buzzer beaters and some upsets.
You know, I got to throw a little golf at you. Phil wins yesterday. And I want to know if you or your buddy Briggs have ever hit a sand wedge as pure as Justin Thomas did on 18 yesterday.
That was something else, wasn't it? It was a thrilling, thrilling finish. And it's great to see Mickelson playing well. He actually, I was looking today, he has the most world ranking points, even more than Justin Thomas, this year since the calendar flipped. So going into the Masters, you got to definitely say he's one of the favorites.
Yeah, no, that was great. I didn't get to see it. I've told the story at the start of the show. Got in real late last night after some travels. Turned on the TV just for a second. You want to talk about timing. They showed the leaderboard. I told Troy Maxwell this today. He was walking through the showroom right now at the Superstore. I turn it on, and Justin Thomas, bang, holes his sand wedge from 119 yards. They said, this tournament's over, and turned the thing off, and some much-needed rest. You travel, you know how that is. Woke up this morning, couldn't believe it when I saw the highlights, and Phil put it in the win column. Final question, you traveled with the Rockets, Kyle Rowland. Great story, I really enjoyed that, from a guy, again, who travels a lot, so I know a lot about checking in and out of hotels. But that being said, does anybody beat Buffalo number one in the MAC? And I know it's not your beat, but number two, does the MAC get an at-large here? I'll give you a scenario. Toledo and Buffalo go to the championship game. It's 4 overtimes, and Buffalo wins on a buzzer beater. Does the MAC get 2 teams in the tournament?
Well, it's funny you asked that question, because I'm going to the MAC tournament this week, and I'm going to have a big Sunday story about kind of the emotions of being in a one-bid league and the roller coaster ride and why the MAC is a one-bid league. So, saying that, no, I don't think there's any chance, I don't think they're into the discussion at all and talking to people who fancy themselves as being experts on that, subject. It's justified this year, but there certainly have been past years recently, especially like 2014 Toledo. I mean, they were 34th in the RPI, and they just didn't even sniff an NCAA tournament bid. So I think it's unfortunate. There's clearly a major school bias. As far as this year's tournament, I think it's more wide open than people think. Buffalo sure is the favorite. I think Toledo absolutely has a chance. I mean, if they play on a neutral court, I see no reason why Toledo couldn't beat them. Eastern Michigan is playing really, really well right now. They're going to have to beat Toledo for a third time, though, to make it to the championship. So I kind of think a Toledo-Buffalo championship game is in store for us, though.
Good stuff, Kyle. Great hearing your voice. I might call on you here. I'm not sure. I got to take a look at things here for the MAC tournament and get your thoughts maybe after a couple of games. Appreciate you coming on, as always.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Kyle Rowland, again, Toledo Blade beat writer, talking about a little bit of everything. This is Drive Time. My name's Mike Miller. It's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Carfax sale continues through 1 week from today. Hey, leave your checkbook at home. $199 a month. How about this? 2016 Jeep Compass, 2016 Jeep Patriot, $199 a month. Back to close it out after this. Drive Time coming to you tonight from the Superstore.